I had the privilege of doing Edie's Perez's funeral on Friday. And I was grateful to see a lot of you. And but it was sad, very sad. Known Edie for really 35 years. Just really wonderful sweetheart. And so I'm not that sad. I'm not as sad, you know, as if I didn't know I'd see her again. I certainly will. And I was thinking when I did the service, for those of you who were there, you heard it, but when I did the service, I told them that, you know, one of the first verses I would do is that it's appointed unto men once to die, but then the judgment. And then I looked at the people and I said, and most folks are afraid of the judgment, right? And then I read them the verses in Matthew 25. And in Matthew 25, you know, the Lord says when he returns, if you have given me drink, you know, and if you've given me, you know, you ministered to me, you visited me when I was sick, and he says, and then the people say, well, where, I don't remember ever doing that to you, Lord. And he says, well, if you did it to one of the least of these, you did it to me. I mean, that's how we're supposed to roll. And he says to those individuals who really actively loved and took care of people who were less fortunate, who were unable to help themselves, you know, he said to them, enter you into the joy of the kingdom. And to the people who didn't, nah, not so much. You know, that's kind of like a ridiculous way of saying it, but they ain't making it. Everything is based upon what we do with what we believe, not just the fact that we go to James, please. Not just that we know the truth, but what do we do with it? In James chapter 2, we left off because I'd been teaching the book of James here in our fellowship, and I think I just wanted to knock off this next section because there is a method to my madness. I'd like to do as much, and maybe we'll flip back and forth with the subjects that are in this book, but I would really like to try to go through it in the next couple weeks. But in this section here, where we left off, because it says in verse 14 of chapter 2, it says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him? That's the question. Can faith alone save you? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, oh, God bless you, be warm and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Oh, God bless you. Have a, you know, you're just wonderful, but you don't help them when they really have a need. What good is that? You know, I mean, just common sense wise, right? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God? Thou dost well. Yeah, it's a really good thing to understand. You can understand that there's just one God, and that he is the Almighty, and that he has created all things. You know, the devil believes that too. He really does. He knows it firsthand. Actually, he knows it better than you and me. The devils also believe and tremble. But will thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Now, you can go to Ephesians chapter 2, and it says that, in fact, keep your finger here and just go there for a second. Because if you don't think about this well, you get confused. And I want to tell you, I'll tell you the truth. 99% of your Christian believers out there in churches are confused. Does that mean that I think that I am superior in my intellectual ability to think this through? No. I'm just not wrapped up in dogma that has to be maintained in order to belong to a certain church. And that's the difference. If you have a doctrine that your church maintains that you have to do such and such and such and such to be saved, and I don't have that. I just want to believe what the scriptures tell me and then put it together so that it makes sense. I don't have to defend a denominational belief. And that is the difference. In Ephesians chapter 2, look at what it says here. In starting verse 1, it says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and in sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, our behavior, in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." We were by we had the nature of the devil himself. "But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that you should walk in them." This is completely contradictory to what we just read in James, isn't it? Yes? No? You following me? "You were dead in trespasses and sins, but because of Christ and his dying for you, by grace you are saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast." So it's by grace and not works. James said, "What good is faith without works?" Do you see why people get confused? The reason for their confusion is they don't take into consideration what subject are we talking about. These are just not words plastered on license plates and bumper stickers. What is the subject that is being talked about? In Ephesians, the subject is talking about salvation. In James, it's talking about behavior. God created, he's the one who saved us through his Son. That is something that you and I do through faith in what he accomplished. That's the work. I got to believe that he did it for me, that he was my substitute, that he accomplished this. The fact that once I believe that, then I am to act accordingly. I don't do good works to get saved. This is the distinction. I grew up in a church that believed you had to do this and this and this. And if you committed this sin, you were going to hell. And if you didn't confess it, you were going to hell. And if you did this one, you might be going to someplace in the middle. All right? So you had the good ones, the bad ones, the really, really bad ones. And then you had the ones that you'd suffer 50,000 years for. I mean, this was the denomination that I grew up in. All right? I had never read any of this in here. Not a blessed word of it. But they still teach those things. Now they just do it in English instead of Latin. So I can understand them better. When I was a kid, they did the whole thing in Latin. It wouldn't do me much good. But the point is, they taught that salvation was based upon you doing good things. Then God would love you and save you and give you eternity. And they took verses like the ones that I read at the funeral and said, this is it. You have to go out there and do good things here, do good things here. Visit, take care of the sick, the poor, the widows, and the Lord will save you. And they forgot that Ephesians, talking about salvation, is talking about believing what Jesus has done, because it's his work that saved us and not our own. When you come back to James, we're not talking about salvation. We are talking about what good is it for you to have faith if you don't walk in it, if you don't utilize it. See, even in Ephesians here, it says in verse 10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. First you get saved by grace. Now you have the ability to do the works that God would have you to do. Go back to James. Is that clear? It's really good to understand what subject are we talking about when you read scriptures. What is the context of this book is how to live in light of the kingdom, James. Ephesians is talking about two different things. It's the doctrinal presentation of what has been done for you through Christ, and then how you, because you've been saved, walk. But if you're stuck in, I have to maintain this belief because this is what my church does, then you are as confused as you can be. Back to James here. So what good is it if you have someone in front of you and you say to them, oh, bless you, you have a wonderful day, you're just the best, and they're starving, and you didn't help them, or you didn't clothe them. What good is it? Nice thought, but it does them no good. It ministers nothing to what they need. Verse 17, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. You live what you believe. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou dost well. The devils also believe, and they tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Without walking and doing what you have been told and the Lord has dictated, what good is this? This is not an intellectual exercise. We're not going to school and learn. You know, I used to, the hardest part to go to school, not that I ever did well in school, never did well in school. But the real hard part in school is going to a class that you know you would never use ever in your whole life. Now, sometimes I got tricked. I really could have used that. If I would have paid attention, I'd be better off later on. But there were a lot of things that I did in school that I have never, ever exercised, like the periodic tables. When I go to the spice cabinet, I don't think about the periodic tables. You know what those things are, you know, like iron and, okay, chemistry. I don't do chemistry, except salt and pepper and stuff, you know. Maybe put a little vinegar on something, you know, or that's chemistry. That's as far as chemistry as I ever went. In my personal, absolute life. Without knowledge, without utilizing it in Scripture, is just so. This is not a class. This is not mental exercise. This is not just putting on knowledge for knowledge's sake. You know, if you look at 1 Corinthians 13, just touch it there. What the heck? Not costing you nothing, right? Just a few moments I take of your time. You can do everything the Bible says and do it for the wrong motives, and you don't get anything either. So again, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 2 now. And though I have prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith so that I could remove mountains, and if I have not love, I am nothing. You can know everything. And without love, without you living this life and knowing what you know and doing what you do with the motive of love, it's all a waste. It's all a waste. Go back to James. Now, it gives examples here, and this is why it was so incredible to me that most folks miss this whole thing. It's not about salvation. It's about how they lived, what they did. So it says, verse 21, was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he hath offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? Here it is. God asked, said to Abraham, go sacrifice your son. Goes to Mount Moriah, 3 days going, taking Isaac with him, brings the wood for the fire and the knife, but he doesn't bring the lamb to offer. And the son says to him, hey, father, where's the lamb? We got everything else. He says, don't worry about it. God said to do something. Abraham got up and went. This was his boy that he loved more than anything else. In fact, this was his promise of eternal life because the Messiah was going to come through Isaac. he was not only asked to sacrifice the love that he had for his son, because it says so much that he loved him, but he was asked to sacrifice the coming seed of the Messiah, which was his promise of eternal life. And it says in Hebrews, he reasoned it out that God would have to raise him from the dead in order to fulfill his promise, and God would keep his promise. But the point is, he never hesitated. He trusted God. He trusted the words that he heard and was willing to carry it out. Was not Abraham our father justified by works? In other words, you hear the Bible. Oh, yeah, you want me to do that? Okay. Yeah, maybe sometime. That's not faith. When he had offered his son upon the altar, seest thou how faith wrought with his works? And by works was faith made perfect. It was accomplished. And the scriptures was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. It's not just by hearing. It's by doing what God said, carrying it out. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she hath received the messenger and hath sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. The record of Rahab, I hope you're familiar with it. We've gone through it a time or two. Rahab was a Gentile lady, all right, in the city. And Joshua and the children of Israel were told to take this city, Jericho. And she lived on the wall. And they heard. Rahab just heard what Israel was doing to all the cities as they were coming their way. And the whole place was afraid of the people of Israel. And the spies came in. The spies from Joshua came in to search it out. And she hid those men and kept them safe in her house. And said, hey, just don't, I want out with you. Your God is God. We want out, and the family take care of things here. And the spy says, you don't give us up, and you help us get out of here, I guarantee you we won't kill you or your family. You know, they put a red cord in the window and stuff like that. Remember? She believed just because she saw them coming. Her actions was the accomplishment. Because she acted in the way she did, really meant she really did believe this. Do you see what I mean? It says in the scriptures in Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That is the verse we have always taught. And it's a great verse. It's a summation of what we have to do. But it says, thou confess the Lord Jesus. Is he Lord of your life? Is he? Silence in the room, crickets. Is he Lord of your life?
Hell yes.
All right. if he's Lord of your life, what does that mean? Is that just a one-time belief, one-time statement? Open sesame and the door opens to Shangri-La. All of a sudden and never closes again. I've heard that in churches. In fact, I've been in churches that thought that way. Just say this once and you're in. You're done. No, to confess him as Lord, to say that he is my Lord, the servant does what the Lord says. He lives the way the Lord wants him to live. Faith without works is dead. You do what your Lord says. He wants us to love as he loved, to serve as he served. Because he's my Lord, I do what he says. That is actively believing that he is Lord of my life. Every day. Not just knowing that, oh yeah, he's the boss. He's out there. He's cool. It's living it. Do you really believe he's Lord? Then you do what he says. Do you really believe that what he spoke is the truth? Then you do what he says. You believe that he died for you. That's by faith. You still have to believe those scriptures. That's your action. Once you believe it, now you live according to what he says. Is there anybody confused? Because to tell you the truth, unless you have a preconceived idea, you know, like I used to have, I went from one church where, you know, if the Catholic Church, where you had a whole set of beliefs, all right? And they went back and forth on this thing all the time, depending on which verse they were using. You know? And then I went with the way, right? Which was what you believe this once you're done. Mm-hmm. Both of them are wrong. But that was the great thing the way gave me, was just read it and it'll, because it's in here. The Word of God is the will of God. You just keep studying it and you'll learn more. But the people who love that particular religion that I was in, they don't want to rethink about it. They don't want to rethink it. I got no motive outside. I just want you to understand the truth and keep it simple. Go to Galatians here for a second. Galatians chapter 5. Now, Galatians is a book that says, you know what? It's not about doing the law. It's about faith. The subject of the book is they're turning against what Paul has taught them. And they're going back to their Jewish believing of the the law of Moses, and rejecting what Jesus Christ did for them. And towards the end of the book here, it says, for all the law, verse 14, 5:14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if thou bite and devour one another, and think about this, you know, love is a, what would grammar, what would love be? It's a verb, right? That means you do something. Remember that in English? That was an important class to learn too, English. And I didn't do so good in it. So I'm just telling you, there was real profit in learning English in school. Especially you young guys in the back there. So. Because it's a verb. That means there's a doing. There's an action. Jesus Christ said, all the law of Moses is fulfilled in this. Actually, it's the Apostle Paul, but Jesus gave him this message. All the law is fulfilled in this, that you love one another. When you love, you can't break anything in the law of Moses. See, there's no selfishness in love. Sin is nothing but about you. It's selfish. You lie because you want to mislead somebody for your benefit. You steal because you want what they got. Okay? You commit adultery because you want to please yourself. It's all about selfishness. But all the law is fulfilled. In one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you are not consumed one of another. You don't destroy each other. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law of Moses. Now the works of the flesh are these, which are, okay, these are the works of the flesh. The flesh, that's which is sin nature, the old man nature, what we were dead before in Christ. Before we believed, we were dead in these things. Well, the works of the flesh are these. And this is a short list, but it's pretty important. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murder, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do such things do not inherit the kingdom of God. The people who live a lifestyle of these things, they don't inherit the kingdom. They're not going. You want to know why? They may know Jesus is Lord, but they ain't living that way. Therefore, they don't really believe it. They know it intellectually, but they do not believe because of their actions. Makes sense? Clear, hopefully. But in contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You're not breaking the law. And they that are Christ, they have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lust. If you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. We have a choice. I can walk by the Spirit that the Lord has given me and keep Him Lord in my life and walk in the fruit of the Spirit, or I can go not keep Him Lord in my life and live according to my lusts and not inherit the kingdom, because I really don't believe that He is Lord. See, that's why faith without the work is dead. It's not works to get saved. It is works because I am saved. I want to walk in His steps like Him. Father, thank You for Your grace. And thank You, my God, that we can understand these things as we read and just keep it straight. Thank You for Your love in our lives, Father, and for Your mercies. Thank you for continuing to help us, Father, and to keep us from being confused. And make it plain and simple to us, my God, for we are very simple people. And I love you and praise you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.